Birth of Christ by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Luke chapter 2. Begin with verse number 1 after we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the greatest gift of all. God, we thank you for what you've planned for us. It's interesting, Lord, all the different events and individuals that you used to cause your desire to come to pass. Help us, Lord, to remember that with you all things are possible. God, we're grateful for salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the peace that you give us in the midst of a world of chaos. Help us, Lord, increase our faith, guide us, encourage us through your word, and make your truth alive and real to each one of us. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting to me as I look at the scriptures and see all the numerous prophecies of God's word that describe the Christ that would come. God's people look for Messiah. God's people anticipated his coming. Still, God had to do some extraordinary things to make it come to pass the way that he said it would come to pass. I submit to you this morning that it is very unlikely that Joseph would have come to Bethlehem were it not for the decree of an ungodly emperor. But God knew. God knew. And so God had a plan. And God even used an ungodly emperor to accomplish his plan. And that's not something new with God. We can look at the scriptures and look at other examples of how God used, in spite of them, the ungodly to accomplish his will. Because God loves us with a love that'll never pass away, God will do what God needs to accomplish his will for us. It was no different with the coming of his son in the world. We have what I call three key players in our little snapshot this morning of the birth of Christ. First of all, we have the emperor. His decree made it possible, in fact, made it reality, that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Secondly, we have the angels that show up on the scene. One in particular announces, not to the king, not to the high and mighty, but rather to the lowly shepherds, doing their work, calmly keeping their sheep at night. What an event that must have been for them. When suddenly there were the angels on the scene. And just like always, when angels show up on the scene, the first words out of their mouth have to be, "Fear not." We've come with a good purpose to announce the greatest event of all time. the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, will arrive on the scene, and here's where you can find him. Finally, we have those shepherds. An emperor? Yes. Angels? And shepherds. What an unlikely mix. What an unlikely mix, I say again. The ungodly, those who believed on God, those who all the time served God. All together in this unique story of God's love presented to us. Wrapped up in the most unlikely of spots, a manger in Bethlehem. You know, God doesn't do things the way we think He will or ought to do them many times. God works, many times we describe it, in mysterious ways. He does that so that we'll know it's of God. If we fully expect it, it really is something that really doesn't capture our attention. But you know what? When God does it, He does events and things so that we can't miss it. It just doesn't happen this way unless God orchestrates the whole thing. It's like God is the one behind the scenes orchestrating the whole play, putting all the actors into their spots so they accomplish His purpose. And you know what? When we look back through our lives, God was there too. God was orchestrating events to bring us to the point we needed to come to receive His King who was sent into the world as a little baby in a manger. Wow! God was watching over all of it. And you know what? God saw, God knew, God planned all of it. You see, it's His plan. It will play out just as He's determined it will play out. But I'm certainly glad He had a place in it for all of you. Yes, God is working out events for our good to those that love Him. God is with us. Yes, He's with us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's now with us and the person of His Spirit who dwells within us to use us and shape us and mold us in the people He wants us to be. I'm glad that God is with us. Amen. He's not against us. Amen. Yeah, we've got one who's against us, but greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Even in the sending of His Son, He had to fight against those forces of evil. They had predetermined that they would thwart God's plan. But no, none can prevail against our God. He's greater than all. He's above all. And guess what? As the Apostle Paul said, He's in you all. To show to the world that God is still with us. He's working through us. And He's using us to share the good news. The Savior has come.
Amen.
He's come. Let's look at this portion of Scripture quickly this morning. There's a lot that can be said about how God works. God works in rather unusual and mysterious ways. God uses unlikely characters to accomplish His purpose. Personally, I don't think Caesar Augustus had any idea what he was doing. Rather, he thought that he would He would get a census taken, and he would know how many people there were in all that district there in the Holy Land area. What a census. God determined it. Caesar helped do it. You know, if this was really a real taxing, the people of Israel really wouldn't go for it. They hated Rome, but they were proud to stand with their family sectors. They were proud to identify with their own people and with their heritage. That was something they saw as a great favor. Joseph, in particular, had to make a journey all the way to Bethlehem. Because as the scripture says, he was the house and lineage of David. David the king. Oh, they anticipated the day that when that king would come, that King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come. When all this started, Joseph and Mary had no idea what was going on. But God had a plan, God had a purpose, and God would use them, and yes, God would use an ungodly king to get them where he wanted them. Because you see, the word of God is truth. It's truth. And all events line up with that truth, or against that truth, as it were. Because some are for good, and some are for evil. But in this case, God can even use the evil to accomplish a good purpose. So Caesar issued the edict that all had to go to have the census taken back to their home place. That's pretty neat. Back to the home place. The Israelites, remember, were given a possession in the land when they originally came. They weren't to sell that. You see, it was a like picture to that in heaven. I can't sell my heritage there. It's an assurance. It's a promise that God has a place for me. God has a place for you. It's reserved for you. Oh, I may not always possess it here, but you know what? I will always possess it there. God was trying to show them, hey, here's the place where your people reside. When we go back and look at our heritage, we all came from somewhere else. And when we came to this country, we migrated from the east to the west. Some of us have ancestry that goes back to the original inhabitants even. My wife has more Indian blood in her than the gal that claimed Indian blood. You got it. And you know what? A lot of that happened. But we all came from somewhere. Now we're here. And when they got here, some of them put roots down and they've lived a long time. I think different families have lived in certain places for a long, long time now. My Hornbaker's side, they came here a long time ago. Back in the east part of the country, they were there before the Revolution. Through the Civil War. After the Civil War, and eventually my great-grandfather came to Kansas. Newton, Kansas, of all places. Then decided, I'm going to move west a ways, and he came out to a little town called Hutchinson. And he began to look for farms, and the land agent said, oh, there's three farms I've got, I'll sell you, all the same price. There's one, it's about a half mile south of the intersection of K-96 and 50. Half mile south. The next one was about 3 miles south of that. And there was another one way on down there, about 7 miles south. And my great-grandfather looked at those farms, and that agent said, I think I'll take the furthest one from town. He says, the agent said, I'm curious, Mr. Hornbaker, why did you choose the farthest one from town? I've got seven sons growing up, and I want them further away from the devil's workshop. That's what he said. That was in 1882, I believe it is. Wow, I wonder what he'd think today.
Go further south.
Go further south! I think you're right. He'd go probably further west. Further west, probably. But, you know, it seems like, you know, we get places many times where we put roots down. Where he put his roots down, we still have family members that own that property. So it's 1882. Inheritance. All that we saw our spiritual inheritance as important as we do the material. All that we really viewed it in the way that God views it and say, this spiritual inheritance is far more valuable than that material and physical. All that we had our priorities right. That we had in sight, in view, where we ought to be. God knew what his word says. He is the word. His word will never pass away. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm the one that can show you the way. I've made a way for you. Believe on me. But you know what? I'm always true to my word. I will make things happen so that it will occur just as I say it's going to occur. So Herod was there in that region. But Caesar Augustus said, hey, I want a taxation made. I want a census made, if you will, so that I will know how many people there are in that place. And guess what? God knows each one of you by name. I like the old song that says, there's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. It's mine. And you know what? It's yours too. Your name's written down in that book of life that God has if you put your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's as it were, the old preacher said, you've got your tongue ticket punched. You're ready. You're ready. How about it? God wanted his son to be born in Bethlehem, and that's exactly the way it happened because God ordered those events. I'm certain that Joseph had no clue where he ought to be, but God planned it, God prepared it, and God set it all up. So that's exactly what happened. Just like Micah chapter 5 verse 2 declares, that special one would be born in the city of David. And that's Bethlehem. Though thou art the least of the cities, out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule thy people Israel, and his kingdom are from everlasting to everlasting. That's only one king the cat could be said of. Our eternal king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and was born in a manger. Born like none other, with no earthly father. But God himself caused that conception so that Holy One that was born could become our Savior. Yes. You see, we needed the spotless Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. We were all guilty. We were all condemned to death. But praise God, through Christ, we can have life eternal and everlasting through him. An inheritance that'll never pass away. It'll never go from us, but it'll always be with us. And one day, we'll be among the redeemed as we praise the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and bought us with his precious blood. You see, Christ came not just to be born, but to die. To die for us so that we could live eternally with him and through him. Thanks be to God for what he's done. Yes, God used an ungodly emperor to accomplish his purposes. And you know what? God is still doing the same things today for us. Secondly, I like the angels. We have songs that talk about the angels. Glory, glory, how the angels sang, you know? You suppose they're all in tune, Gary?
Perfect tune.
Perfect tune. And I suppose that God may rework my voice when I get over there so I can sing too. So that we can join in God's heavenly choir and give him praise forevermore. But here we have the angels, and one in particular who's the spokesman for God. The shepherds were abiding out in the fields. And verse 9 says, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Wow, that must have been quite a sight. When all the glorious angels showed up and I'll bet their minds ran away with them because we know they were afraid. Why? We naturally think something bad is about to happen when really the best is at hand. God has a wonderful plan. God is working it out. And you know what? God's message is a good message for us too. Don't fear. God is here. God is with you. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us.
Amen.
God with us. But Jesus means Savior. God with us, the Savior. See how God telegraphs what He's all about? You know? Die. Don't be fearful. Even though you're sinners, God loves you. God is providing for you. God is making a way for you through the greatest gift of all time. You know, we think about gifts this time of the year. What gift will I give this person or that person? Some people are hard to buy for. The older they get, the harder they are to buy for. Generally. And so you ponder and you query in your mind, what shall I get them? What kind of a gift? God's really smart. Duh. He gets us exactly what we need. Something no one else can provide. Why? We needed a Savior, right? None of us could save ourselves. But you know His Son could. And the good news is He would. He was willing. He was able. And He came to a stable. Why? Not a palace. Not a fancy ER. Not a special birthplace. Well, for a cow, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Or a sheep. But a manger? Yeah. God comes in unusual ways. God is saying, I'm humbling myself to the lowest of the low so that all of you can know that I care about you deeply. Why? Have you ever thought the lowest of the low from the highest of highs? That's what Jesus did. Praise God. He didn't stay as the lowest of lows. He went back to be the highest of highs when His work was accomplished, didn't He? And praise the Lord, we can go to Him every day. We can say, Lord, it's me again. And you know what? He doesn't get tired of listening to you. I think He delights in His children just opening their hearts to Him. He wants to hear. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to know about your struggles. He wants to know about your triumphs. He wants to know. Not that He doesn't know, but He wants you to share those things of your heart with Him. Because He has a heart for you and me and for all of humanity. That's why He came to that manger lowly. He came so that He might redeem us. He could make the way where nobody else could. The greatest gift of all.
Amen.
Thank God. He came to the angels with that message. To those shepherds, He had good tidings. But the angels had to preface it all with this. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we get afraid in our lives too, don't we? We don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's going on. Our lives get seems like many times tipsy-turvy. That's life. But But you know what? There's one who'll make sense of it all. There's one who'll help us through it all and in it all. And I said in it all because He's always there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there to help you and guide you. God has good news. Don't fear. Have faith.
Amen.
Fear comes because we're not sure. Fear comes because we're not trusting. The angel said, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy." And listen to just a few people. No, to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey, they were looking for the Savior. They were trusting He would come soon. The good news they had is He's come. He's here. He's here for you. Wow. Could you imagine how lighted those skies were when all the angels arrived, when they sang their joyful message on God's lowly shepherds? We're really afraid. It's not the first time God has done something like this. God has brought messages through His angels numerous times before to those who have trusted in Him and looked to Him for guidance and direction. And God does it again. Hey, shepherds, you may be on the low part of the totem pole, but you know what? I care about you too. I care about you. In their secular society, the shepherds were like nothing. You know, God is saying, "I've sent my Son for you too, for all people." Sadly, many of the high and mighty don't listen. They don't look up. They don't trust God. They don't believe His word. They don't believe the word of God. But we know this, God's word is true, and it comes to pass, and God sent His Son for you. God often gives us signs in our lives. Yeah, here's the sign. You can't miss Him. There may have been other babies wrapped in swaddling clothes, but I dare say there were none other babies laying in a manger. Yeah. We'll get Him all in all the sterile places. That's what our minds, we would put Him in the palace. Or the best hospital there is. Right? If we stayed at home, it'd probably be the best midwife there is around. But you know what? I think God was the midwife here. But God watched over His own. He was born in this stable. God said, "Hey, here they are. Here's what you can see. Here's how you will identify Him. He's a baby wrapped in those usual swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Well, I guess it was kind of like they would take warm water and they'd wash them all down and they'd use some salt too. And then they'd wrap them up, kind of like a mummy. You know, that was the process, I understand. Well, they went to back then. Now we've got incubators, right? And you can go in and you can see your little niece.
It's about 12 inches long. Born way before her time. She's about that tall now. 20 some years old. Had to take her down to Wichita. Had to stay down there a while, a couple of months, in the hospital, in that incubator. Sadly, just down the road from there was a place where the doctor used to take the lives of infants bigger than that. God had his love all wrapped up in a little bundle. And that little bundle is the greatest joy the world has ever known. And his name is Jesus, the one and only Savior of the world. I know I'm not politically correct, but I'm not running for any office. I'm called to my office. And if you aren't a called pastor, you're not a real pastor. Amen? God calls us all to a work, though. And our work, our part in the story, is believing the message that God has for us. He sent his Son into the world to redeem us. God with us, a Savior. A Savior. People, that's what Christmas is all about. It doesn't matter when he came, what time of the year. I'm not concerned about that. The old people say, oh, he came on Christmas. No, probably not. Probably not. He came when God determined he would come. According to God's plan. And he came to a bunch of shepherds and they found him. And then the shepherds made the visit. Heard from the angels, they went to make the visit. Here's what they said. When the angels were gone away, the shepherds said, verse 15, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Wow. That sounds like those people believed God. God can work in all kinds of ways. God can deliver his message whatever way he wants to. In this case, the greatest message of all is the Christ is born. He's here. He's arrived, just like God promised in the past. He's here. The shepherd said, let's go see. Now, being from the farm, I always wondered, what did they do with the sheep? You suppose God said, go to town and I'll take care of the sheep? I'll make all those little bad sheep be good. God's well able to do that, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He used a donkey to speak to a man called Balaam. God can do whatever he wants to do. And I believe if they were so inclined to go, God could take care of the sheep. No problem with God. He who made them could keep them.
And he did.
So they went. Let's go see. So who were the first arrivals? Not the king, not the hierarchy, not the aristocrats, but shepherds.
came to the stable. Shepherds are familiar with stables, but I dare say this is the first time they've seen a child lying in a manger. Even shepherds wouldn't have their children in a stable, even though I was accused sometimes of being born in a barn, because I wouldn't shut the door at times. You're born in a barn? No, I guess not. My birth certificate says I was born at Grace Hospital. Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah, long gone.
Yep.
There's a lot of us little kids born there, though. None, I dare say, were born like Jesus Christ. Angels pronounced his birth. Shepherds identified him after his birth. And the scripture says they came with haste. Came with haste. They were in a hurry. They were excited. They'd got an invitation. They wanted to go see. Let's go see. Why? The King of Kings and Lord of Glory is here. Let's go see. He announced it to us. Wow. Hardly anybody talks to us. We're just shepherds. But you know what? God cares. He doesn't care what your background is. God cares about your future. And God's plan for your future by means of sending his son arriving in a stable, coming to redeem humanity from all of their sin. They came and saw, and when they'd seen, the scripture says they made known abroad the saying that was made concerning this child. In other words, they told everybody, and everybody that would listen, and probably some that didn't want to hear, you know, the Savior's born. He's come. It always amazes me, with all of that, King Herod was oblivious to it all. It wasn't till the Gentiles came, that is, the wise men, and said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Herod got excited when they talked about a new king. He was king. I'm king. I'm in charge. What do you say, a new king? No. I want to get out the word, he says, that I can come and worship him. You know? No, he didn't want to worship. He wanted to get rid of the one that men should worship.
Son.
Still today, people want to get rid of the mention of the one that people should worship.
Yeah.
Come, let us adore him. Come, let us give our praise to him. Come to the Lord Jesus. Recognize him in your life. Honor him with your life. Give glory to him through your life. And let he be praised in this season, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Glory. My praise be always to him for who he is. And why he came into this world. He came into this world to redeem us, to save us from our sins.
Yes, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Thanks be to God for his gift of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this season for all that you have done for us by sending your Son to become our Savior. But Lord, your work's not finished. You're still working on us, in us, and through us. Help us to be instruments, Lord, that you can use for your glory. Help us to give you praise with our lives. Help us to give praise with our lips. And especially this season, help us, Lord, to be brave to announce to the world that Jesus Christ has come and he is the one and only Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord, for this greatest gift of all. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.